It's Christmas Eve. It's the one night of the year when we all act a little nicer. We smile a little easier. We share a little more. For a couple of hours out of the whole year, we are the people that we always hoped we would be. It's really a sort of a miracle because it happens every Christmas Eve.
Well, if that doesn't get you in the mood, I don't know what will. Well, actually, I do know what will. It's Father Peter Malone, MSc, down the line from Melbourne, Australia, to talk to us about films. Peter, how are you?
I'm well, thanks, James. Enjoying the Christmas atmosphere with the sun shining brightly.
Oh, yeah, you always do these things, don't you? You're trying to make us feel really cold and miserable, but we can't because we're right slap bang in the middle of Advent, heading very soon towards Christmas, so we can get some joy there, even if we don't have the weather.
You can go and get some warmth inside the cinemas.
Ah, well done. Yes. Now, I think this time round, if it's okay with you, and seeing as we're at the end of 2014, we could do a little look back at the faith-based films of this year. Does that suit you?
It does indeed, because this year has been full of faith films, both with Catholic themes and with evangelical themes. I counted up, we've had about 14 religious films screening in Australia this year. Not all big blockbusters, some very evangelical with titles like God Is Not Dead, and one about James Newton and Amazing Grace called Freedom. But the headlines, I suppose, have been the biblical ones.
Two big biblical films in 2014.
There was Noah and there is now Exodus, Gods and Kings.
Excellent. Now, Exodus, we here are getting on Boxing Day, so we haven't had that yet. So this will be something of a preview for us.
Yes, I was surprised. We had it at the beginning of December, and a friend of mine in the United States said, I haven't seen it yet. So it started on the 12th. So whether our countries are religious and welcome these films and you don't is a possible conclusion.
I mean, I suppose, yes, we could look at the bookending of the big biblical films. But where do you want to start? There are other films that I'd like us to cover, such as Stations of the Cross, German film, which I found quite interesting. And, of course, Calvary, which are very compelling films as far as I'm concerned. So shall we start with... Let's start with Calvary, Peter. What did you make of this one?
Calvary, I thought, was one of the best films of the year. I notice here in Melbourne, it went for weeks and weeks and weeks in the cinemas. Very good response, very good critical response. And I think people liked to see this picture of a priest, which somebody said was the 21st century equivalent of Benanos, Diary of a Country Priest. Oh. So I thought it was one of the best portrayals of a priest I've seen in years, looking back, of course, to that wonderful French film of Gods and Men about the Trappist monks in Algeria.
Yeah.
That was wonderful. But this one, it's a fiction, not giving anything away, as you would know, but the first scene is a confessional sequence where Brendan Gleeson, as the priest, is sitting there and one of his penitents says, I'm going to kill you in 2 weeks' time because I was abused as a child. You're an innocent priest, and so therefore you die. And you can see then the image of Calvary and as Jesus went to the cross for us. So this priest won't reveal whether it actually happens or not, is meant to be the similar kind of victim. And I think people picked up on that theme very, very quickly.
Brendan Gleeson, I have to say, I like him. He's always comes across as a bit, you know, a bit lived in, a bit gritty, doesn't he?
He does, although his earlier career was as a school teacher. So maybe that... did it for him and he escaped to stage and screen. I think the screenplay is very good in showing him meeting a range of people in the parish.
Yeah.
So that you see the different kinds of interactions, people hostile like the doctor at the hospital, other people being supportive. And I thought that with him being a late vocation, a widower, and then his daughter coming to visit, and she has her problems, you had in that space of time a lot of insights, I think, into what a priest could be in contemporary society.
I'm going to kill you, Father. I'm going to kill you because you've done nothing wrong. I'm going to kill you because you're innocent. Not right now, though. I give you enough time to put your house in order. Make your peace with God. Sunday week, let's say. I'll meet you down on the beach there, down by the water there. Killing a priest on a Sunday. That'll be a good one. Do you not have anything to say to me, Father?
Not right now, no. But I'm sure I'll think of something by Sunday week.
I thought it was very persuasive, actually. I thought he was a very good priest, or that's how he came across to me.
Do you know that some of the advertisements said the film was wickedly funny? And I don't know who thought of that or what publicist. I can't understand how people could say that it was funny.
No.
Some of the interactions with the parishioners, obviously there are touches of humour, especially the old American writer who was hiding away there in Ireland.
Yeah.
So I thought it was really very challenging, perhaps,
yeah.
Sad. Catholics, I notice here in Melbourne, anyhow, flocked to see it, so it had quite an impact.
I thought pathos would be the word as far as I'm concerned. I didn't really find it funny. I mean, it had its moments of charm, as you rightly say. And certainly, I mean, the breathtaking views of Ireland, you know, always is a wonderful location, wasn't it, for the film?
38 kilometres from Sligo, it said on the road notice.
Never been to Ireland, have you?
I've been to Sligo, actually. But that was 48 years ago.
So, Peter, what do we learn from this film, do you think?
I think we learn about priesthood today, the challenges. I think we have to face up to the sexual abuse, especially from the film there in Ireland. That's always, I think, in the films these days, an examination of conscience. And we have to focus on the victims. There's been too much focus, I suppose, on the church authorities and how they handled it or didn't handle it well. Not as much on the victims as I think is emerging now. That makes it very topical, makes it very hard. And do you remember his dog is killed and somebody said, did you weep when your dog was killed and you didn't weep when you heard the stories of the victims? And that's one of the phrases that I think will stay with me. So those aspects, I think, make it topical, but I think very well done. And it received, actually, an ecumenical award at the Berlin Film Festival earlier this year.
Yeah, very powerful and moving a film. I enjoyed it, actually. Enjoyed it. I mean, it's a funny word, isn't it, really? It's like when you talk about humour in a film like that. Enjoy in terms of, you know, being taken along by the story and thinking about those themes, I should put in context.
Yeah, stimulated and challenged. There you are.
Well done. Put it better than I could. Shall we move on to one of the two big biblical films? Let's talk about the one that hasn't arrived on these shores over here in the UK. Let's talk about Exodus.
This one is wonderful to look at, have to say that. Goes for 2.5 hours. And I think people should know the story, shouldn't they? Moses is the central character. He's played by Christian Bale, who doesn't look at all like Charlton Heston. So that means we're responding to Moses in quite a different way than from the Ten Commandments. This is a more introspective Moses at many times, although he's actually portrayed as a warrior. And because Christian Bale has done, you know, introspective characters, especially like Batman, then I think we expect something different, a challenge to who Moses was.
Do you believe in coincidence?
As much as anything else?
I don't think this is one.
What is it?
You coming to Python. Why did you come?
Business. Who's your father?
I know you don't know his name, only that he was a general in Pharaoh's army, unnamed by your mother.
I can see this is making you uncomfortable.
There was no general. Your mother, the woman you call your mother, has no children. You were born a slave.
Don't go, don't go.
It's better for you than I do. I'm leaving. If you leave now, you'll just come back because you know something's wrong. You've always felt it. Please.
Now, I can't really say too much about this one, to be quite honest with you, because I've only had a quick squiz at the trailer, because obviously it doesn't come here till Boxing Day, the 26th of December. But I imagine, and certainly looking at some of those scenes in there, that there's a lot of big production and visually stimulating stuff, cinematography.
Oh, yes, the cinematography is excellent. The effects, of course, are very good. Stunt work as well as the computers. What they've done for the first third of the film is focused on something that is mentioned in the book of Exodus, but because we think about the Exodus itself and the time in the desert, Ten Commandments, we don't appreciate always that Moses was brought up as a prince of Egypt. And so the first part of the film shows him with the pharaohs, with Ramesses, and the Hittites are invading. So there's a whole lot of battle sequences, as well as Moses being a diplomat and going down to challenge a corrupt viceroy. So we've got this feel, I suppose, about Moses as Egyptian rather than Jewish, or I should say Hebrew.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because you mentioned the Ten Commandments, and you know, over the years, we have had, or film directors have been moved by a lot of these big biblical characters, haven't they?
They have. I think the thing with the clash between Moses and Pharaoh has been popular drama in a lot of these films. There was an animated film in 1998, Prince of Egypt, with Val Kilmer and Ralph Fiennes as the voices, and that focused on, as the title said, Moses as Egyptian rather than Hebrew, so that in this version he does discover his own story, and as we know from the book itself, he leaves Egypt and goes out into the desert and has an experience of the burning bush. I'd better say this, it's not meant to be a spoiler, but you'll find the reviews are all going to comment on the voice of God at the burning bush is a 10-year-old British boy. And some people were horrified or thought this is stupid to have God represented in this way. But actually, Moses says to Aaron in the film, it's a messenger of God. It's God's voice through a messenger at the burning bush. And the messenger is an angel. So there's a tradition of angels as faces and messengers of God throughout the Old Testament. So somebody was reassured when I told her that. Oh, she said, the boy wasn't God, rather the face of God. So it'll be in the reviews, you can be sure. The other one is that all the actors are Western, which isn't quite true. In fact, the wonderful Palestinian actress, Hiam Abbas, appears as the sister of Pharaoh. One of the things, however, you will like is how the plagues are presented. I don't know if you've thought of the plagues and wondered whether they could be explained realistically or not. That's the point of view taken here. So that if crocodiles attack humans and fish, there will be blood in the river, and the blood in the river will cause frogs to emerge and boils. So they've given a bit of a naturalistic explanation and the consequences of the plagues. So some of those are rather spectacular. Needless to say, the spectacle is there as they go through the Red Sea, and it's a tsunami of a wave, which I think will appear in all the trailers. So people going to the cinema will actually have a preparation in seeing that huge wave. And I liked the film a lot. Some friends of mine thought it was a bit tedious, a bit long. One of our main reviewers, very staid person, got so excited he gave it 4 stars out of 5 and said he thoroughly enjoyed it. Too many people are thinking of Ridley Scott and Gladiator,
yeah,
thinking it's a kind of another Gladiator, instead of actually being alert to the religious themes. I think they're there in the film, but they seem to be going over the head of some of the audience.
Interesting. Well, that's Exodus, Gods and Kings, which over here in the UK is released on Boxing Day. Peter, quick word maybe on Noah at this point, seeing as we've mentioned the biblical films.
Well, we started the year with Noah. I think it was an imaginative interpretation of Noah. Some of the basics of the book of Genesis there. It was interesting that Noah doesn't call God God, but refers always to the Creator. And so it's got a sense of nature, especially all the animals going into the ark, the nature of the flood, etc. And the personality of Noah as struggling with his faith, of the evil around him, of God's punishment, and these strange stone monsters that look like the Transformers, in fact, or something like that, which I think was a bit off-putting.
Yeah.
But the locations, Russell Crowe's performance, I think it was interesting, but not a biblical must, so to speak.
When I heard talk of miracles, I dismissed them. But then I saw the birds with my own eyes, and I had to come.
There isn't anything for you here.
No. This all belongs to me. This land, this forest, that stronghold of yours. Did you really think you could protect yourself from me in that?
It's not protection from you.
Then what is it?
An ark. To hold the innocent when the Creator sends his deluge to wipe out the wicked from this world.
Return to your cities of Cain. No, we have all been judged.
I have men at my back, and you stand alone and defy me. I'm not alone.
Well, Peter, shall we move on to our final film, Stations of the Cross? Now, again, this one hasn't been out too long in the UK. I don't know about in Australia. 28th of November, this one was released. And it's a German film, isn't it? About a 14-year-old girl called Maria who grows up in southern Germany in a very sort of traditional Catholic family. And I think that their membership is of the Society of St. Paul, which sounds to me like it's trying to echo the Society of St. Pius X, really. Is that how you read it?
Very much, very much. This film won an award in the Berlin Film Festival earlier this year, an ecumenical award for the competition. For the main jury, I think they gave it the screenplay award. So it made quite an impact. Here in Australia, we've had it only at the German Film Festival. It may get a release next year. With the Stations of the Cross, you're obviously focusing on a Catholic tradition, a Catholic devotion, which is not part of the Protestant tradition. So I didn't know what I was going to see when it started, and I found that it has 14 sequences corresponding to the Stations of the Cross in Maria's life. But at the first one, Stations of the Cross before Pilate, it's a catechetical class, and a lot of the scenes are just simply straight camera. No movement much at all. But I think they work, even though they're so static. But the priest is preparing these children around a table for confirmation. And I was thinking, oh, yes, he's given a reasonable explanation of the sacrament. And then he mentions the Second Vatican Council and starts to attack it. And that's what's wrong with the church today. So once you hear that, you definitely know where you stand. And it is very much the followers of Archbishop Lefebvre, who was prominent in Vatican II, as being very much against the government, so to speak, against the theology, certainly. And it's a very tough sect-like group. And so Maria, her mother is very, very devout. And penitential might be a word that is appropriate. So that Maria's whole life, even when she's young and finds a friend at school and wants to sing in his choir, which the mother doesn't approve of, they have their own liturgies, it goes further and further into wanting her to be a little saint, even in her suffering. And so she goes through her own Calvary, so to speak.
She's desperate to follow God, isn't she? It comes across that way.
Oh, yes, she is. It doesn't spoil it to say she gets ill at some stage. We're doing Stations of the Cross after all. And so the words of the priest, the confrontation with the mother and her hostility to the doctors, the other members of the family, I think we get some kind of insight into people who aren't in the mainstream of a Christian church, and really with their desire to be perfect, really become sect-like. And of course, that has its destructive consequences. I should make a remark. There's a wonderful drama called Nightcrawler out at the moment about these paparazzi who turn up at accidents and crimes in the night, taking video material to sell to television stations for sensational payment. Anyhow, one in Australia who has that profession, very upset with the film, very upset. It's an untrue picture and it's sensationalising it. And I thought, oh dear, that's what some Christians say when they see films that are critical of the church. So we all do it in some ways.
And quite interested that this was a late November release in the UK. You know, we're at that point on the threshold of Advent rather than Lent and Easter, which is where you might have expected this film to be placed, would you not?
In a way, that affected me because Calvary and Stations of the Cross were both in Berlin during February and therefore during Lent.
Yeah.
So perhaps I was a bit more susceptible to them. My hunch would be that distributors of films in England are not particularly aware of the seasons of the liturgical year.
Yes, that is indeed a fair point. And Peter, just on this one, a good film in your view, did it have enough about it for you to recommend people go and watch it?
I think it's a specialist film, James. I think that people who go to arthouse cinemas will appreciate it very much. It wouldn't have a chance in a multiplex.
Yeah, very fair point. Fascinating, Peter, as always. I mean, you mentioned at the start there that you'd sort of catalogued some 14 films with religious themes at the very least, either overt or running through them. What else have we had? Heaven is for Real, Deliver Us from Evil, an exorcism type of film, God is Not Dead, and several more. Do you think there's going to be more going on into 2015? Any you know of?
I'm inclined to think not. I think whatever the coincidences, providence, whatever it be, they've been for 2014. I'm not sure that a lot of them had much life at the box office. God is Not Dead, Freedom, The Story of James Newton and Amazing Grace were at just some cinemas, mainly in the population centre of Melbourne, at multiplexes, and the churches around would have supported them. Heaven is for Real was on for 15 weeks, sometimes at one session a day, in an outer Melbourne suburb. I had to go out there to see it myself. It was not mainstream, although Greg Kinnear was the star. So there is a life, I think, for that kind of film if you know the churches and the religious groups near the particular cinema. Now, whether that can be sustained because they don't make a lot of money, that'll be the question.
Yeah, very good point. But an interesting year, Peter, we'd have to say, obviously, for faith-based films. And I think my pick would be Calvary out of our films under discussion today.
Oh, yes, I think that most people who have seen it, it's stayed in their memories and their imaginations, and people wanted to talk about it. And when you have a film that a lot of people want to talk about, it's obviously successful. And that certainly, in my experience, is what happened with Calvary.
Peter, it's been fantastic. It's kind of you to join us. I know it's getting really late because you're always a matter of 11 hours, aren't you, ahead of us at this moment in time. So appreciate that. Thank you very much. But thank you for being sprightly and lively with those things considered and giving us your always in-depth and excellent opinion on these films. I've enjoyed it very much. Now, we'll join you again in January, if that's okay, for our January podcast. And then, dear listeners, we are going to see Peter. He'll be opposite me. I'm looking at a blank chair at the minute because obviously we're talking by Skype, but you will be there in February.
I'll be there in February and I'll have been to another Berlin festival and I'll have been looking for some kind of religious value film to talk about.
Peter, I will look forward to that. I will also look forward to speaking to you next month so we can talk about our January films under the spotlight for that month. But it remains for me to say have a wonderful Christmas.
James, the same to you and anybody listening to this particular program. And all the best for 2015 and we'll meet again then.
Absolutely. Well, you can get all our faith and film podcasts on catholicnews.org.uk. That's the home of these podcasts. And we'll speak again in the new year.
Very good.